So as we announced at the start, this is the first of six special lectures that we're giving, following up the Stourbridge campaign, which reminded people that 400 years ago we had the Bible translated into English for the first time, and now we're exploring its message. And this evening we're exploring the first part of that message, which is about your money and your life. So I'll ask our brother Trevor to speak to us about that subject.
Thank you, Richard. Good evening, everyone. Thanks for coming out tonight. Your money and your life. Does it have a meaning to us? Well, kids, I'm very sorry to say that the price of chocolate is going to double next year because things are getting very, very bad. And also, the worst thing is, money is going to be so tight that your pocket money is going to be halved. That's going to be bad news, isn't it, for all the kids? Half the pocket money, and yet chocolate is going to double in price. Well, that's the kind of effect that you'd be interested in, but parents, it's more to do with their jobs and their finances and the problems that are in the world, because it does have a knock-on effect on your pocket money and the price of sweets, believe it or not. So let's have a little look at the talk then. We're in a bit of a difficult situation in the world in which we live. Lots of countries have overextended their resources, and I mean big countries such as Ireland, Greece, Spain, and Portugal. Anybody been on holiday in those kind of places? Yeah, yes, one or two have been there, yeah. Well, I went to Spain last year, and it was my special birthday. I was 60 last year. I don't want to give too much away. Most of your mums and dads were my Sunday school scholars when they were little. And we hired a little bungalow in Spain, and I was amazed at the number of brand new dwellings that had been put up and yet were now empty. And in fact, they'd gone round taking lots of the doors and the windows out and just leaving them in rubble. Everywhere is in a dreadful state in the part of Spain that I went to. It's either that or I picked a bad spot, or Real Madrid supporters had been and wrecked the place or something like that. But it was in a really dire strait. And lots of people were having to sell their homes and sell everything because of the difficulties that we see. So it is having a big effect on lots and lots of people in the world in which we live. And what's caused it has been excess greed, wanting more and more things. It's like we as children naturally want to have a DS, then a PlayStation, an Xbox, and all these kind of things. Well, that's all very well if we're working and we've got the money, but sometimes things are very, very difficult and we can't always afford to buy the things we'd love to buy you. But people then go and have higher purchase and put money on credit cards, and then they find out that they can't pay them off and we get into serious troubles. So it affects lots of us. And that's a trouble because we have credit, because we want things now. And when I was younger, I remember a young couple had got married and they were £4,000 in debt the day after they got married because of all the things they bought on the Never Never to equip their house. And it was about 6 months before their marriage failed due to the pressures that had been brought on that marriage, due to the stress and strain of all that kind of worry. And that was a few years ago, but it still has its point, doesn't it? And then there's corruption. People just don't care about other people, and they steal from them and twist them and con them into doing things that they later regret, and yet they don't seem to be hurt. A little example of that is the fact that years ago the Austin Rover factory was doing very well, and then it went downhill and four gentlemen became directors of the company. They bought the Austin for £10. Now, when I was at school, I went and worked at the Austin Rover factory, and there were 29,000 employees when I worked there, a long, long time ago I had, and they bought that company for £10. And they sold a lot to the company off for £42 million. So something was wrong somewhere. Now, those four men are no longer able to be directors of companies. And that was in the news today. But we can see what affects greed, credit, and corruption as its impact. And it's all due to human nature. The whole world was in trouble a few years ago. And this is an article from the Sunday Times. Telegraph. There's an article from the Telegraph that Greenspan is like the head of the financial part of the United States of America. He, and along with the rest of the world's regulators, our Chancellor of the Exchequer, Darling and Brown, failed to foresee the financial crisis that it would happen. And we came into serious problems and difficulties. We think that that mistake was to neglect the role of human nature, because we are what we are, and we try to do more than what we really did is better for us or too good for us, and we get into problems and difficulties. The comment said that this crisis is fueled by the seemingly irresistible temptation to refinance the mortgage rather than pay it off. So you extended your mortgage by, say, 25 years, you extended it to more years or more years and added the value on and on and on and on. And people were having dreadful sums on their mortgage statements. Falling interest rates meant you could pay lower and lower amounts. And rising home prices and aggressive mortgage brokers made refinancing seem like the apple in the Garden of Eden. What's wrong with that statement, children? What's wrong with that statement? Anybody paying attention? Like the apple in the Garden of Eden. It wasn't an apple in the Garden of Eden. It doesn't say it was an apple. It just says a fruit. There you go. See, that's from the papers. They don't get it right, do they? It just shows you how, if we want to get it right, we have to go right to the Bible to see what it says. It's not an apple. It just says a fruit. Anyway, what we want to look at then are 10 steps, guidelines to help us look after our pocket money. So here we go then. Be generous with what you have. That's the first one we're going to have a look at. We're going to look at that the love of money leads to destructions, when the people just do everything and anything for more and more money. Learn to be content with what you have. Very good advice from Paul to a young man called Timothy. To be content. Contentment with godliness is great gain. That's what we need to learn that. Laziness leads to poverty. You can sit all day and watch the TV and play with your Xbox, but if you go out and mow the lawn for dad or mom, they'll probably give you a reward for doing that. So what do you want to do? Sit and watch the Xbox? Or would you rather go out and mow the lawn for mom and dad or do some good things and earn yourself a bit of pocket money to buy other things on? Don't depend on money. There's more important things in life than just money. Plan before you spend. Can you really afford it? Learn to save little by little. Anybody got a piggy bank? Yeah? Well done. Yeah, yeah. How old are we? No. You're not sure? It doesn't get used because there's nothing in there. Or your mum and dad don't give you enough money to put in there. You use it for other... Oh, right. When I was a little boy, I had a piggy bank. It was at the TSB, now taken over by the Lloyds TSB. And it was like a little book. And it had a slot in the top, and I used to put my money in. And about every 3 or 4 months, I used to take it to the bank, and they'd take the money out, and I'd be a little more wealthier. And I used to save and save and save. And if you save little by little, you can afford to buy yourself something better. My grandson, Sam, bought himself a Thomas the Tank Engine when he'd saved all his pocket money up, but he was thrilled because he loves Thomas. Do not squander your money. Don't just throw your money around on silly things because you regret it one day. Beware of debts and loans, and most importantly, seek God and follow God's word, and he'll always provide what we need. It doesn't say what we want, it's what we need. God knows best for us. So, there's a little quotation from the Bible in being generous with what you have. The wicked borrow and do not repay, but the righteous give generously. The wicked try to deceive money out of our hands and from us, sadly. But if we're righteous, if we're trying to be godly, then we're prepared to give generously. So if you have a bag of sweets, would you give your friend a sweetie sitting next to you? No answer? Would you give your friend a sweet? That's being generous, isn't it? Yeah, that's being generous. That's a good thing to do. Learn to share things. That's what I would do. And we learn to, when we get older, to do that with our money as well. Help people out when we need to. Command, says Paul to Timothy, people to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. So when you have a bar of chocolate or a Kit Kat, break it in two and give someone else another piece of Kit Kat so you can both enjoy it and share it together, because sharing is good fun rather than just eating it on our own. And that's a message from Paul to Timothy. to be generous and willing to share. Most people are naturally selfish because that's the way we are. We're human beings and we're naturally selfish. But it's the Word of God that shows us what we are and what we behave like, and we try then to change to be what God wants us to be. So, how much should we give? Well, the answer is found in the 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, where it says, "So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." Now, Phil Round told me a story a long, long time ago about a boy who was very unhappy because he'd given all his 50p pocket money into a collection and he wasn't a cheerful giver. He said he'd made him sad to get rid of all his pocket money. So just be careful about what you do. But God does love when we happily give money to other people. Also, the love of money leads to destruction. It's the love of money. That's the thing you've got to look at. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Now, there was a man called Bernard Madoff, and using that name, he made off with $50 billion in America. It's a huge amount of money. That's the kind of money that countries earn. It's huge amounts of money. And one of the people who lost out on that wheel of dealing was a man, and he was so upset because he'd lost $1 million that he killed himself. So really, those words are true, aren't they? And pierced themselves with many griefs. He actually took his own life because he'd lost all that money. What's more important, your money or your life? What do you think is the most important, kids? Your money or your life? It's our life. Because while we're alive, we can all change things, can't we? That's right. But once we're dead, can't do a thing. Well done. If you love money, it will bring you more grief, not less. Beware of how much time and energy you're putting into earning more money. If we're not careful, we can spend so much of our effort working for more and more money that we neglect our families and our children. And that's a warning for all the adults. Because if sometimes we got our eyes focused on money because we've got big mortgages, big debts to pay, we work so many hours that we miss our children growing up. And that's something I can speak for, because I had four little girls who've all grown up to be almost mummies themselves. And you've got to be very careful of how much time you spend, because our children grow up and you turn round and they're having children of their own in the blink of an eye. And so we have to make sure we spend lots of time with our children. The reading that we had in Luke told the story of a man whose greed for more and more wealth cost him his life. It was about that man. He had such fields of crops that he put them into barns, and his barns weren't big enough to hold all of the crops that he had. So he took his old barns down and built brand new barns, and had huge big barns, and started to fill them up. And then God turned around to him and said, "Well, you're going to die today. Then whose will all this be? You're not going to enjoy it because you're going to be dead. So, as you said, it's better to be alive than to have money." Be content then with what we have. This is Paul writing again. He says, "I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. He's experienced both being poor and both being rich. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want." I think I've always been a happy boy, I think. And I lived in quite a slum area of Birmingham. And it was dreadful, and we had outside toilets. Any of you got outside toilets when you're going to walk down the back of the house, down the courtyard, and share a toilet with 12 other houses? Well, that's what it used to be like. In fact, the house I lived in looks very similar to the ones at the Black Country Museum. Anybody been to the Black Country Museum? Yeah, you've been to the Black Country Museum? Well, when you go to those houses there, and at the back of them, that goes to those wash tubs, and it's a big like crucible where they used to wash all the clothes. They used to wash all the clothes, and at the end of the washing, they'd put all the children in to get them washed as well. So we're all clean together on a Monday wash day. Do you remember? Maureen saying she remembers it well. It's just like that. Monday wash days, wash the clothes, and in the kids all went in into the tub, have a nice scrub and clean, and that was it for the week. And it was very, very difficult. And now I have a very nice house with three toilets. I don't know which one to use. Three toilets in that house to go to. So things change. Things change and develop. But it's learning to be happy and content, whatever the circumstances we find ourselves in. That's the important thing. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Because God has said, never will I leave you and never will I forsake you. It's very interesting that when we look at some of the most faithful men of old in the Bible, they had lots of herds of sheep and goats and cattle, and God always looked after them. But the ones who stole and were crooked and were dishonest, they lost everything. And it's more important to follow God's words and be honest with God than it is to try to deceive ourselves, because God will always look after us and give us, again, what we need. Do you secretly believe you would be happy with a little more money? Well, we have to beware of this trap. Because the wisest man, anybody knows the wisest man in the Bible was, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, because I think he was the wisest man. But the next wisest man, who was that in the Bible? Have a guess. Throw me a name. Well done, yeah. Remember that woman had, the two women had one child, and they had to decide who was the real mother. And Solomon said, well, chop him in half and we'll find out who the real mother is, because the real mother wouldn't want the baby killed. But the other mother couldn't care. And Solomon said, right, chop the baby in half. And the real mother said, no, kill him, don't kill him, it's my baby. And he said, that's the woman who really is this. He's a wise, clever man. And he said this, he who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver, nor he who loves abundance with increase. And Solomon multiplied horses and houses and wives to himself. He had hundreds, in fact, 1,000 wives. But he realized at the end of his days that you're never content because you always want more. And that's our human nature. We want bigger houses, better houses, bigger cars, better cars. It's all the things we want in life. And yet we have to learn to be satisfied with the things that God gives us. Laziness leads to poverty. This is what Solomon said in Proverbs. All hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. We can always talk about what we'd like and what we wanted to do, or what we want to do, or what we want to achieve. But the best way to do it is to go out there and do it. That's the only way we're ever going to get the things we want, if you want to do those kind of things. It's not to talk about it, but to go and do it. So if you want to buy ourselves a Thomas the Tank Engine, we've got to do some jobs around the house to earn some pocket money, to put in the piggy bank, like the one that's never used, and put it in the piggy bank, and then we'll have some money to take to the bank and buy ourselves. Well, you want a Thomas. You won't want a Thomas the Tank Engine, will you? What do you want? Don't know, okay. All right. But anyway, you can save up for what you want if you work hard to get those things. It says, we hear that some among you are idle. They are not busy, they are busy bodies. Busy bodies means they go from house to house telling stories and tales. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and to earn the bread they eat. Sadly, too many people want to live off the state and not do a thing and expect other people to do everything for them. And that's what we've got to learn, to change our attitudes and learn to be helpful in the household. And not expect mum to always make the sandwiches and things like that. Dad has to have a go every now and again. And children have to make the sandwiches every now and again too. Don't depend on money, because we never know whether we're going to get enough. Oh, what's happened there? We never know whether we're going to have enough of it or not. Let's click away and it should go, thank you. Do not wear yourself out to get rich. Have the wisdom to show restraint. Cast but a glance at riches and they are gone. For they will surely sprout wings and fly after the sky like an eagle. I don't know which version this is. Anybody got a clue which version this is? No, I checked that out. It isn't the New King. No. I looked at that, Richard, and I thought it was the New King James, but I pasted some in. It wasn't the New King James. I've not seen this. I even checked the English Standard Version as well against it. No. I have no idea. But I couldn't work out which version it was. I checked three or four on my online Bible. I couldn't figure it out. Do not wear yourself out to get rich. Have the wisdom to show restraint. Cast but a glance at riches, they are gone, for they will surely sprout wings and fly off in the sky like an eagle. And that's quite true, isn't it? Because lots of people have lost millions of pounds just like that overnight. Hundreds of thousands of pounds. Because you put too much belief in wealth and money. And it's a transient thing. One minute it's here, and one minute it's gone. Don't depend on money. Command those who are rich in the present world not to be arrogant nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain. And sadly, so many people have trusted in property prices. They've had more and more houses and bigger mortgages, and all of a sudden, the property market has come to an end, and it's gone. And everybody who's bought houses on Monopoly and hotels on Park Lane have now found that they've got nothing at all. It's all gone. Just like Monopoly money, can't buy a thing with it, useless. If we rely or trust in money, we may well be disappointed. Money, as we have seen, can disappear. This is a quote from the Telegraph. Now, we've been discussing what the WEF means. World Economic Forum, I think is what we've come to. Nice try, Matt, but it's the World Economic Forum. When they met together, do you remember? And Mr. Brown became the saviour of the world. Global crisis has destroyed 40% of the world's wealth. 40% of the world's wealth. Just gone like that. Because at the end of the day, it's only paper. It's only a figure. It doesn't really affect you as an individual. But we can get so concerned about money that it's the big driver in our lives. And really, at the end of the day, it isn't. It does have an effect on us. There's no doubt about that. But not to get overly concerned. If we're managing our own finances properly, then there's no reason why these kind of things shouldn't affect us too drastically. Number 6, plan before you spend. This is a quote from Luke. He says, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him. They'll laugh at him, saying, this fellow began to build and was not able to finish. What a silly fella he was. And that's right, isn't it, really? If we want to do something, we really ought to sit down first of all and say to ourselves, can we really afford the fifth bedroom extension? Or should we be a bit careful? But when you're expecting twins, sometimes you've got to buy extra bedrooms. There's no doubt about that kind of thing. Have to plan for the future. Anyway, this is the thing we have to think about. Before we go on to do a big building thing, big item, we need to sit down and think about it and say to ourselves, have we got the money for the bedroom? And if not, look at other options. A wise decision. These passages show that we must plan ahead. We should not begin costly projects such as house extension without sensible financial planning to secure, to ensure we can finish the project, because a half-built house gets us into big problems. And I remember when I put the extension on my house, when I had two more children and I had to build out, it cost me an arm and a leg. And we didn't quite have the money to fund the carpets. I had to wait another year before we had carpets in there. So you always plan and think, yes, it'll cost that amount of money. And without shadow of a doubt, it will always cost you more. At least 10% more than you thought about. So planning how we spend our money is an important part of managing it wisely. Helpful tool for planning is a household budget. How much do things going to cost us? I remember when my daughter got married last year, she came round to the house. Dad, how do you control your costs? I said, it's quite simple. I have an Excel spreadsheet. And I put down all the monthly bills. And I put all down my monthly expenditure. And I have an income at the bottom. And that goes in there. And when it's gone to zero, I know I can't spend any more money. It's as simple as that. When I was younger, we always used to save and then buy something we wanted. People now go with a bit of plastic down to the shop, put it on the plastic, buy, and then before they know where they are, they've overspent the money. And then we're into serious problems. So, keep a record of what we spend, what the bills are, and then we know how much money we have left over at the end of every month to spend on the children's pocket money. And if mum and dad haven't done it right, I'm sorry, kids, no chocolate or sweeties. He who gathers money little by little makes it grow. And that's quite true. And if we put just a little bit of amount into their empty piggy bank, then we're going to be able at the end of the year to maybe buy ourselves something nice or something even nicer. And it's one of the things I always find. Lots of people put a pound away on the, is it a lottery they have on a Saturday night? Then they have a midweek lottery, which is another pound. So that's £2 a week. Well, how many weeks in the year? 52 times 2 is, ooh, it's genius. Wow, I am impressed. 104. So every year we'll save £104. After 10 years, how much will we then have saved? Go on. Oh, you're going to be a mathematician when you get older. Like Uncle Steve, he's a clever guy. Anyway, 1,040. So in 10 years, we can buy ourselves something really big for £1,040. That's the way, by saving a little by little by little, we can pay to buy things straight away rather than putting them on the credit card. And I was always taught to buy things like that. My mum said, Trevor, don't have it on the never never. Put it away and save it and then buy it. And it's always been good advice. An important part of planning is saving. It's not wise to use up everything we have, taking no thought for the future. When a large expense arises unexpectedly, we won't be able to handle it. And that's what happened to Mr. Brown. He didn't put any good money away in the good times. He just spent it on other things, and now we're in the financial mess we're in. So the Tory party tell us, but it's probably more to it than that. Instead, put aside a little of your income every month. It might not be very much, but over time it will grow. It will grow to £1,040 over 10 years, if that's only £2 a week. Do not squander your money. Do not join those who drink too much wine or gorge themselves on meat. For drunkards and gluttons become poor and drowsiness clothes them in rags. Now, I can speak about this. But for a different reason. What it is, it's not gorging myself with food, thank you. My dad, when he was younger, it's before I was born, but my dad went to what's called the dogs. And he didn't go to the dogs in that sense. He went to the dogs, which was a racing thing. They used to race dogs around a track. Is the one he used to have, the, what was the one at Cradley Heath or something in the Black Country? He used to have one. Pardon? There's one at Perrybar. Did they have one in the Black Country? I can't remember. But my dad went to the one over that part of the world, Perrybar in Birmingham, and he won a fortune. He won £1,500 back in 1950. He could have bought two houses with that, £1,500. Could have bought two houses. Instead, he took his mates out virtually every night and bought smart Italian mohair suits, which were all the rage back in the 50s with the Italians and all the rest of it, and squandered all his money. And do you know what he learned from that lesson? He learned from that lesson that in life you have lots and lots of mates, because they'll all be there to spend your money with you, but you'll have very, very few real friends in life, because once his money was gone, he had hardly got any friends left, because that's all they wanted to do, spend his money. And he taught me that lesson, and that was my dad. Not just from the Bible, you see, some people learn the hard way. So, that's what we have to be careful of. That we don't spend our money on drunkards and gluttons and become poor, and we get drowsiness and clothes them in rags. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. Anybody know what this is about? The parable of the... No, good try. Two boys, two sons. Prodigal son. This is about the prodigal son. And he wants all his inheritance now. And he says to his dad, "Dad, give me all my inheritance now." And he goes off, spends it down at Birmingham and the nightclubs and all the rest of it. And he's ended up penniless. And then he has no money left and he can't feed himself. And he comes back to his dad and he wants to come back and lives in his dad's house. That's the story of the prodigal son, virtually. And it teaches us a lesson. Don't just squander all of our inheritance. Don't just spend all your money in one go. Plan ahead and put it to the side. Sorry? Well done, yeah. He had to eat his food with the husks, didn't he? He had to eat husks with the pigs were fed with husks, and he had to eat husks with the pigs, and he said to himself, "Why should I be eating the husks here? I can eat the husks at my dad's house." But his dad said, no, I love you too much, because you're my son. You can eat a proper meal and come back and live with me at home. That's the story, isn't it, in a nutshell? You've been taught that at Sunday school. They've done a good job, your Sunday school teachers, haven't they? I'm very proud of them. Well done. You've learnt the lesson. That's what that's all about. It's in a different language because it's in a different version of the Bible, but that's what the story's all about. Spot on. What's his name, Matthew?
Henry.
Doing a great job. Do not squander your money. So when we have expenses, we should ask, is this a necessary and wise use of money? Do we really want these kind of things? In particular, be careful of large expenses such as establishing a business, purchasing a vehicle, or organising a wedding. I had four. I was a broken man at the end of the fourth one, penniless. Be careful then when you have twins, if they get married on the same day, it's very, very expensive. My brother-in-law, the one got married in the July, the other one a fortnight later in the August, fortnight apart, had to take out a big loan to pay for that. So, when establishing a business, it's usually better to start on a small scale, slowly build the business up. Often when people spend a large amount of money establishing a business, they then find that the business does not generate enough money to pay for the expenses of setting it up. So, if you're going to venture into business, mums and dads, be very careful and plan ahead before we go into it. Beware of debts and loans. The rich rule over the poor and the borrower is servant to the lender. You look at that and you think, oh, well, okay, you can understand that. But actually, just think about in the wider picture of the bankers, the much maligned person in society, banker. They have got millions and millions of pounds in bonuses and the poor people are destitute. There's something wrong somewhere, isn't there, along the line? They've made a big loss in the banks. I mean, the one that's owned by the state, RBS, lost $3.4 billion, or thereabouts. I'm nodding to my financial expert here, am I right? £3 billion, and yet they still got millions of pounds in bonuses. And who's having to pay? The servants. Us. The servant. And the lender is raking it in left, right and centre. It just shows you really how unfair the world is. The message is, it will change when Jesus returns. So let's not be envious or jealous. Owe no one anything except to love each other. That's a lovely little passage. And it's one of the best things I can say to you as children from the Bible. Owe no man anything. Never be in debt to anyone. Sorry. Never owe anything to anyone except to love people for what they are. That's the thing the Bible says to us. Owe no man anything by way of money, but except to love each other. So, when a large expenses arise, people often consider taking a loan with a bank or some other financial institution or a money lender. Be very careful before doing this. Many people have got into deep financial trouble. As I said, that young couple, when they got married, but everything on the never never, it was such a stress and strain on their marriage that they broke up after a few months. Ask yourself, is the loan really necessary? Often a better approach is to save for that expense. As my mum used to teach me, put your money away and then buy it. Then you avoid paying any interest payments. Many people take loans because they want it now. Make sure you have a genuine need for the loan. The message, of course, is buy things on the never never. My nephew went to DFS to buy a three-piece suite. And he says, I'll offer you cash for it. Would you give me a reduction? And he said, no, we'd rather you take the loan out because they get an interest from the loan. Isn't it interesting? That's the funny world we live in, that they get better off by putting us onto a loan because they get a rake off from the loan company. But we don't get a better rate for actually giving them cash for the deal. What a funny world we're in. Final one, God will provide what we need. Humility and the fear of the Lord bring wealth and honour and life. If we recognise what we are and that we need to control how we live by following the word of God and learning the lessons from the Bible, then God brings us wealth and honour and life. And it's not necessarily today, because what we're looking at this morning was our inheritance. And one day when Jesus returns to this world to bring about his kingdom once more upon this earth, then we'll be amongst the richest people in the world. Why? Why do you think we'll be the most richest people in the world? Any children got a clue? Go on then, Henry. Because of God. Because I tell you what God's going to do. If we're good in this life and follow God's word, God will give us everlasting life. Can you buy everlasting life? Nothing in the world will buy you everlasting life. You can't measure something like that with money. It's just impossible to buy it. But do you know what? What did it say about it in God's word? It said it's God's free gift. He'll give us that free if we just follow his word. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. That talks about food and clothing. But ultimately, it will be everlasting life, living in this world with Jesus forever. Many problems arise because we do not realise that God will look after us if we have our priorities correct. Didn't like the grammar that they put there. I thought that was quite odd the way they put that, but there you go. We need to be careful to avoid spending a lot of time and energy pursuing wealth rather than pursuing righteousness. What are we doing with our time? We have to be very careful with our time because we only live this time once, and we need to put it in the right priorities. Study and work are important, but only after we've put the things of God first, in learning more and more about God. The final quotation is again from Timothy. He says this, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money and lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And you know, I think we're living in those kind of days now where people just want to spend all their time and effort on pleasuring themselves with the things of this world and no time at all in serving God. But we know what the best course of action is in our lives. It's to read the word of God, pay heed to what we've been taught by our parents and by our Sunday school teachers, and if we follow those things, then we'll be rewarded with that free gift of everlasting life, a once in a lifetime offer not to be repeated. Thank you, children, for being attentive tonight and for answering the questions, Henry. If I had a chocolate bar like your great-granddad used to have, I'd give you one. Thank you all, children, and I hope you keep saving for that money box on the end there. And make sure it's not going to be redundant. It's going to start being used wisely. Thanks all, Mum and Dads. Thank you, and God bless.